What does consent mean?
I suppose it's somebody giving you all the information in regards of what they're planning to do or what they think is the right option, and giving you all the information and letting you decide with them.
Asking permission, explaining, providing information. From my perspective, it would be verbal consent because I'm able to actually communicate verbally, but there are other ways to get consent as well.
So I suppose it's just being like informed and part of the conversation. I suppose the last thing you want is just to feel like you're lying on the table and you don't know what's going on around you.
I think to me, consent means when you fully understand a situation and what the options are and what the consequences are. Consent can't be given unless you do understand the options and the rationale. It can't be given under pressure.
I had to have my initial assessments, which was carried out by a midwife. My mother was there and she asked me whether I wanted my mother to leave the room or whether it was okay for her to go through all these questions, which she knew would be private, in front of my mother. And I verbally consented to that. I had to get a sweep. I verbally consented to that. I think it was all done well. You weren't just told that you had to do this. I suppose you were given choices. I think I was given information about if I don't do it now, what would happen? If I did do it now, what would happen? When I was 39 weeks plus four, I was told I had low fluid and they told me that they felt like they needed to induce me. And I really didn't want to be induced. They explained to me what the pros and cons at that point would be to getting induced. I asked them to really explain why, in terms of if I didn't have it done right now. They did go through with me what would happen. What they did, what we negotiated was that we would wait a few days and then they would induce me. And again, I did verbally consent to that. So I think they gave me that time, which was important.
Pethidine, I never realised pethidine makes you so drowsy. I mean, you're not even able for labour then, you know, but they didn't have the time to explain that to me, that this is what will happen if you give you, when we give you pethidine. So I suppose when I was put on the oxytocin with the last two pregnancies, they just told me I was going on a drip. They told me, obviously, I wasn't progressing, but I didn't know what was in it. And I didn't realise how the labour would change so quickly. Nobody explained to me how strong the contractions get and how more frequent they come when you're on that drip. And then they put up the amounts that are in the drip. Nobody said to me, we're going to put this up. Is that okay? Or anything like that. It was done. So that was probably a time where I felt they should have said to me, this is what we're going to do and this is what's going to happen when we do it. I mean, like, maybe I need it and that's fine, but at least talk me through it. I was scared at the time. I was anxious and I was nervous and I didn't feel like I could say stop or ask a question or say anything. It affected after when I had the baby.
When I was about 9 weeks pregnant, I had a bleed. They referred me to an early pregnancy unit for a scan. As my first child, I was really scared and I thought I was having a miscarriage. And the doctor was really lovely, really reassuring, and asked if I would consent to a vaginal examination. I've got a history of sexual violence, so I'm really uptight as such about any interference. And so I asked if there could be a female doctor, and they did that. They got a female doctor for me. Before the doctor did anything, she explained what exactly she was going to do and why it was important, and talked me through everything. And so I felt more at ease and I felt that I was really being listened to. And to me, that was a really positive experience.
The experience was that I was having a really lovely, empathetic relationship with the midwife, and I felt very part of every decision that she was making. And then the consultant came in, because she was just doing her job and she had a job to do. I almost fell out of the equation. I was just, part of her job. She just didn't involve me in any way. Her conversation was over my body. I was just left there on the table until the conversation was done. So it just left me feeling really not like a piece of meat, to be honest.
I visited I think they're called VBAC consultants. She told me the different options I have, because at the last pregnancy, it ended in an emergency section, and whether I can go naturally this time or have a section. And she was one of the first people that said, you know, you have the chance to make the decision. It's up to you. Whereas prior to that, having talked to midwives and consultants, they were telling me what was going to happen the next time. That was a big deal. That was the first time I realised that I have a say in what happens when I give birth. I suppose I felt a lot calmer afterwards. I think it's a really good service. I mean, having somebody just to sit down and go through your options is huge.
I would suffer from anxiety. So I had been preparing myself physically and mentally for labour and trying to set aside the anxiety around it. I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want to happen, but I understood that sometimes things can take a turn. But I found in my interactions with consultants, and it wasn't necessarily the consultant, maybe the consultant of the Reg or the SHO, I found them disempowering. I just didn't feel like I was being taken seriously. One of my last antenatal appointments, the doctor said to me, "Oh, we'll book you in for an induction at this point." And I said, "No, I don't want to have an induction." And she said, "Oh, well, this is our policy. This is what we do." And I said, "With respect, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I understand what your policy is." I said, I know what I want. I understand the risks. I understand the benefits." And so she was very dismissive with me, kind of like, "Oh, you think you know it all," or some sort of a quip. And I thought, that's horrible. Like, I don't know it all, but I know enough to know that I don't want something or I do want something. When Cyrilia was born, I wanted delayed cord clamping. They said, "Oh, we have to cut the cord straight away," because the paediatrician was in the room. Before the baby was born, I said, "When the baby comes out, I want to delay the clamping." I knew all about the benefits of it. And they said, "No, it has to be done straight away." And there was no reason for that at all. In those interactions, the doctors weren't interested in the fact that I was informed. It would probably be better for them if I wasn't informed, because I would just go along with what they were telling me to do. So I felt it was disrespectful and dismissive. I understand that doctors are experts in their field, but it's my body. It's my life.
Before we had our daughter, we had an ectopic pregnancy. And so I suppose the nature of that is they just didn't actually have a clue what was happening. Like, nobody did, because it's so early. You have to wait and see, you know. And so, but I felt like at that, they gave me all the information that they had at every point. It was like, and even if that was like no information, I felt like very part of the conversation there. At one point I went in, I had to go into the emergency room because I had a bleed. And there was a really lovely doctor, and she was just like, "Look, I'm not going to lie to you, this is going to be zero crack." And I think even that was a kind of form of her consent before she put the speculum in or whatever, that she was kind of going, "Here's the little contract between you and I. It's not going to be that comfortable. Are you okay with that?" And that was, you know, that kind of both relaxed me and informed me of what was about to come, you know. I really did feel in good hands. I understood that this woman was an expert. So it's kind of like the knowledge part, but also the empathy part. There's nobody forcing me to do anything. I'm just being given all the information, but also in a human way.
What would help improve consent practices in maternity services?
I think looking at a person is really important. When somebody is sitting in a hospital bed or in a chair and somebody's standing over them or not looking at them, you immediately get this impression that, number one, they're not listening and they're not giving you any time. And there's such a difference between that and if you sit down with somebody, look at them and say it to them. It just makes the person feel completely different.
I think drugs mainly for me, if you're going to give them, inform the patient of what's going to happen next. I suppose to realise that some people don't have a medical background, they don't understand, and that things might need to be explained crystal clear to them. And to take the time and then maybe just ask the question, "Have you any questions? Is there anything you're concerned about?" Simple things like that can help. Obviously, in an emergency situation, there isn't always the time. So maybe afterwards, take the time to explain why that happened.
Doctors and nurses should focus on information and keep away from emotion. Provide the information and respect the woman and her partner enough to accept whatever decision they come with. When you feel under pressure and the choices are being taken away from you and things are being done against your will, when you know that there are negative consequences there, it's usually scary. It's not helping women to stay healthy.
Just to kind of have a human connection, which I feel like most people, most midwives and nurses do, and most of the consultants I kind of came across did too. It's just the bad experience I have was exactly that, where they didn't do that, where you don't feel human. You just feel like a cog in their job. So it's just remembering that it is a human, and although it's something you probably do every day, you know, working on these bodies and doing X, Y, and Z, you know, but it's just taking a second to breathe and go, okay, this is a new person. How do I treat this person in the way that I would like to be treated if I was sitting in that chair and I was scared and worried and all of those things?